Hear the word from Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man died, and he was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip his fingers into the water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." May God add his blessings to the reading and hearing of his word. Thank you. Be seated. I recently read a story about a small community that wanted to do something to recognize their children. So they decided they would have a contest, and they would determine who was the most caring child in their community. They invited some folks from outside of the community to serve as judge. After the judging was finished, a four-year-old child who had a neighbor, an elderly man living next to him, who had just recently lost his wife, was the winner of the contest. One day, the little boy saw his neighbor sitting in the yard crying. And he went over into the yard, climbed up in the man's lap, and just sat there. After a while, when he went home, his mother says, "What did you say to the man?" And he said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry." That's compassion, when you can feel the hurt and the pain of others, when you know that it's more than just you. Many don't understand all the teachings of the scriptures. They have what we call an almost Bible. And no doubt some of you have an almost Bible, because here are some of the things that are in the almost Bible. Moderation in all things. Not quite so. That's a sort of a paraphrase of Paul, but it really comes from Aristotle. To thine own self be true. A line from Macbeth. Money is the root of all evil. Not quite, is it? Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. And there are many other those kinds of truisms we have. One is cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the scriptures. pride comes before the fall. Not there either. Or how about this one? God helps those who help themselves. That's from Aesop's Fables, not from the Scriptures. The Scriptures really have a different story to tell. They tell a story of compassion and love and caring. They're often speaking about the ones who have not, the poor and the needy and the helpless. Those are the ones that God goes to. So the Bible, the real Bible, teaches us that God helps those who need help, not those who can do for themselves. Now, that doesn't mean that God makes an excuse for poor work ethics. It doesn't mean that he bails us out when we are too lazy to take care of ourselves. It doesn't mean that he is the one that takes care of every little thing for everybody. The Bible does then offer that consistent picture, though, of God helping those who need it most. Likewise, as those other kinds of sayings, many people believe that if you have abundance, if you've been richly blessed in earthly things, it's because God's blessings fall upon you. And reverse of that, if you're poor and needy and helpless, it's because God isn't blessing you. That's kind of where our parable is for today. If you look at Luke's gospel, that 16th chapter, it's a beautiful story of compassion or the lack thereof. You see, the rich man has everything. He has fine clothes. He has all the food he needs. He lives in luxury. In fact, some people say that the rich man's sin was that he forgot the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment says that on 6 days we are to labor and on the seventh rest. This guy didn't labor on any days. He just lived in the lap of luxury. He never noticed the needs around him. There was Lazarus, the other character. And by the way, Lazarus' name means God helps. You might often wonder when you read this parable, where was God? Why wasn't God helping Lazarus? There was Lazarus, poor and needy, had to be carried and laid at the gate of this rich man that he might get the scraps from the table. You got to remember the time, folks. They didn't have linen napkins or even paper napkins as we do. So the rich, those who had plenty, would use the excess bread to wipe their hands, and then they would just toss it aside. That's what Lazarus was hoping, just the scraps from this man's table. He was so poor and so needy. Lazarus, God helps. God does, and God did, but not the way that we would have expected. Then the scripture says that both of them die. Common occurrence. Probably the poor man, Lazarus, he died of hunger, of starvation, which is so prevalent in the world in which we live today. Some estimates say that in one minute, 3,000 people around this world starve to death. Still with us. Anyway, they die. Abraham is there, and he receives Lazarus into his presence, into his bosom. But the rich man says he died, and he was buried. And then the next thing it talks about him, he was being tormented in Hades. He was in agony. Now, get the picture of the rich man here. He was not ignorant of Abraham. He knew Abraham. So he had the words of Moses and the prophets. he was not ignorant of Lazarus laying at his gate. Because when he calls up to Abraham, he says, send Lazarus that he might dip his fingers into the water and just touch my tongue that I might be comforted. So the rich man was in torment and agony. He had had everything in life. He had nothing. But it's interesting that he wanted Lazarus to come and to serve him, to touch him, to comfort him, take care of him. That was his model of life. He had heard then of those teachings of the scriptures, but he had failed to obey them. He had failed to really hear the prophets and Moses and the law. In his torment, at least he does have a little pity, doesn't he? He says, well, if he can't come to me, how about sending him to my brothers that they might hear, that they might believe, and that they might escape this terrible torment that I'm in. Interesting little comment from Abraham. He says, well, you know, even if somebody went from the dead and told them, they wouldn't listen either. We're pretty hard-headed people, aren't we? We don't always hear what we need to be hearing. Now, this parable, it's not a condemnation of wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. It is, however, the way that we use it. If we're unfaithful in what God has entrusted to us, then that is wrong. This is not a commendation to be poor. Say, well, if I'm poor, I'll go to be with God. Nope, that's not the commendation. Lazarus was rewarded because of his faithfulness to God. Let's talk a little bit about our church. We've had some wonderful testimonies this morning about Second Baptist Church. We say we're a loving community, transformed by Christ for unbounded service. And that, I think, is true. As long as I have been a member here, I have been amazed at the amount of work, the amount of giving, the amount of generosity of this congregation. First, our generosity starts with a budget. Now, that's not something anybody wants to hear about, but our $1.8 million budget provides these wonderful facilities. Right here on the corner of Gaskin and River Road, a witness to the community, an inviting place that they may come and find safety and security. It provides for us to have a staff that will help to equip us as the saints that we might go and do his ministry. The budget really is the linchpin that holds our whole thing together, that gives us that ability to go and do missions elsewhere. Some of you have passed through the lobby out here, and you see those shoe boxes. Well, let me tell you, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. Our church did over 2,000 shoe boxes to send to people that we don't know, to send to children, that they might have some little something that would comfort them and make them feel loved and needed. We send the gifts to the children of West Virginia, and we go to help them with their construction. We send clean water and assistance to the people in Haiti that they might be strengthened and know that they are part of the family of God. Anytime there's a disaster, there is an outpouring of our love and care for people. We open our church to the homeless through Caritas, that they might be ministered to and fed and clothed and warm out of the weather during the winters and the summers. There are all kinds of missions that we participate in. Wow, I was amazed, weren't you, when you heard that we had packed 271,000 meals? That's amazing. We are a generous people. I could go on with that kind of a list, but we are those people who represent God to the community. They want to know that we are caring people. You know, that was one of the trademarks of the early Christian church, that they were loving, that they were compassionate, that they were giving. They were called Christians, and we consider that an honor. At the time that they were first called Christians, though, it was a mocking of those people who dared to follow the teachings of Jesus. They dared to act like him. When they came together as a people, they shared everything they had. The rich and the poor were all taken care of alike. That was their trademark. They were compassionate, caring people. Even when the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering from persecution, the Christians in Asia Minor took up an offering and sent it to them to help them and to let them know, we are part of you. We are a caring people. Jesus set the example, did he not, for us? As you read the scriptures, you will see what God expects of us. He expects us to go to the lepers and comfort them and strengthen them and do everything we can to heal them, the sick and the needy. He goes to the woman at the well who is alone, an outsider. You may wonder why she was there by herself. She wasn't allowed to go to the well when the other women went because of who she was. And Jesus sat and talked with her and brought her into the family of God. The Gadarene who suffered in the tombs, Jesus healed him. Jesus took care of those who were in need and hurting. I think one of the most moving stories of compassion is found there in the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel. That story of the prodigal son, whatever you want to call that story. If you'll remember that in the story, the prodigal has been away. And when he returns home, his father sees him from a way off. Doesn't wait for him to get home. He goes running to him, throws his arms around him, puts the robes on him, brings him back into the family. You see, compassion is not just something we can talk about. It's not something we can believe in. It is something that we have to do. You have to act upon how you feel. Compassion is not just that feeling then. It's not an emotion. It is an action for the people. In the world in which we live, though, it is not a perfect world, is it? We're not all loving, compassionate, caring people. In fact, if some of the statistics are true, the majority are not. Over 50% of the people who are members of this church and any other church you want to go to never give a penny. Never give a penny to the church. They depend on somebody else to do it or whatever. In fact, many of them never even show up. It is said that Southern Baptists, and I'm familiar with Southern Baptists, not other kinds of denomination, that we as a whole give less than 2% of our income to the church. Compassionate, caring. Just think, if we followed the scriptures, if we gave generously, started with that tithe, but gave generously, how much more compassion we could show to a world that's dying and hurting. But most often we expect the government to take care of the poor. I've often said if the church had been able to do all it was supposed to and had done all it was supposed to, the government welfare programs would have never existed because we, the church, would have taken care of the children of God. The injunction to the rich man from Abraham was, they have the word of Moses and the prophets to hear, to lead them. Have we heard the word? Have we heard the word of Jesus when he says, when you have done it unto one of the least of these, my children, you have done it unto me. Well, that's another sermon, but that's a marvelous passage because the people who had been doing it were so surprised that Jesus recognized they were doing it. The lesson of today's parable is that God expects the haves to take care of the have-nots, to sow those seeds of generosity. He didn't exempt the widow when she came to worship and put in her small little offering, and he doesn't exempt us from coming to bring our offerings to him generously, sacrificially unto him. You see, God did send one from the dead, yet with all the warning, abundantly blessed people still allow Lazarus to die at the gate, believing the Almost Bible, that God takes care of those who help themselves. Pray with me. Father, we are thankful for the abundance that you have given unto us. May we hear your word that says that abundance was given to us that we might be your presence among those who have less. Help us to be mindful, Father, of the needs of others. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never trusted him to take care of you and your needs. The invitation is to you that you would accept him, let him come into your heart and change your life. Or maybe you're here and your church membership is somewhere else. You're not a member of this church. You don't have a local fellowship that you participate in. We would invite you to come and join Second Baptist, that we might share the gospel together, that we might do the mission of the Lord together. You come, transferring your membership here. Whatever your need, you come. I'll be at the front. Come and be blessed.
Yeah. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time of worship that you have given to us today. We thank you for this message on compassion, Lord. And we pray now, Lord, that as we go about from church this week, Lord, that we would remember that compassion is an essential element of the Christian life. And may your Spirit continue to cultivate compassion in our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.